Welcome to the Dose of Courage podcast. I'm your host, Courage Molina, Chief Courage Crusader. I'm here to encourage, challenge, and equip you to become bolder, more confident, and courageous enough to be who God has called you to be, do what God has called you to do, and take possession of everything He said you could have. Courage Crusaders, let's go. This episode is brought to you by the Dose of Courage community on Facebook. It is an amazing community of women encouraging, supporting each other, and holding each other accountable. It's a space where you can come and get reminded to get in the Word. We can spend more time with Jesus. It's a space where you can expect to be encouraged anytime throughout the day. So come on up. If you are looking for a community like that, we are definitely looking for you. So come on over to Facebook, hashtag Dose of Courage, and join our community today. Can't wait to see you over there, girl. Hello and welcome to all the first-time listeners. I'm so glad that you have found us. We're glad that you are here. Listen, go ahead and subscribe. I only share the good stuff here. So this is going to be exactly what the title says. Every time you listen to the podcast, it is going to give you a dose of courage to do the things that you need to do to become the person that God has created you to become, so that you can have impact, so that you can take possession of everything, you know, that God has for you. So go ahead and subscribe. For all of you who have been rocking with me for a long time, I'm glad that you are back. I so appreciate you. Thank you for sharing it with your friends and your family. Thank you for sharing it on social media. I love to see the tags. Thank you for emailing me and rating the podcast also. If you've been listening to the podcast and you love it, if you hear this episode and you love it and it resonates with you, I want to encourage you, request, challenge you to go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and write us a short and glowing review, because your ratings and your reviews helps other podcast listeners to find us. That's how they like, oh my gosh, there's a new podcast. No, we're not new, but now we have enough ratings and reviews that it's easier for you to find us. So go ahead and make sure that you do that for us. Thanks so much. I'm going to talk to you today about healing. And I think about healing all the time because I truly believe that you either have a healing heart or a hurting heart, or your heart is healthy. That's it. Only three kind of hearts out there. Your heart is either healing, your heart is hurting, or your heart is healthy. And so when your heart is healthy, you are able to give love, receive love. You're able to move throughout life. You're able to better accept who you are and the things that you've been called to do. When you have a healthy heart, it helps you to be bolder, confident, and courageous, right? Because you're not nursing any wounds. When you have a heart that's healing, it means you're in the process of doing the work. You're not necessarily done, but you're doing the work. And so sometimes it requires stronger boundaries. Sometimes it requires a little more space, not just social distancing, but some distancing from people who might potentially injure your healing heart. It wouldn't injure a healthy heart, but when your heart is healing, it's just like a physical wound. It is tender. It's more susceptible to infection. And so we definitely have to protect it. If you have a hurting heart, a heart that's hurting, which we see all the time, I don't mean that you're grieving, right? I don't mean that you're grieving. I don't even mean that you're going through a difficult time. I mean the permanent state of your heart, or the default state of your heart, is one that is hurt. It is wounded. It has splinters. It's in pain. And how do I know whether or not I have a hurting heart? Well, I have a hurting heart when it's difficult for me to show kindness, when I don't see positivity in the world. All I see are people that are doing the wrong thing for the wrong reason. I struggle to see things from like an optimistic viewpoint. The way I treat people, the way I cut people off, that's a heart that's hurting. Lashing out, that's a heart that's hurting. Okay? Especially when we're lashing out and we're not asking for forgiveness, we're not apologizing. But it's definitely a heart that is hurt. A heart that's hurting is on a vicious cycle of lash out, apologize, lash out, apologize, lash out, apologize. It's like they can't get off this roller coaster. We know those people. Maybe you are that person where you lash out and you're always in a state of one of those cycles, either lashing out or in the season where like you were apologizing all the time. I did this. Oh, I got to apologize for everything that I did because I continue to lose my temper or say things that are not kind or mistreat someone, manipulate, that kind of thing. That's how I know that you have a heart that's hurting. And realizing that a heart is either hurting, healing, or healthy helps you with a healthy heart to be more compassionate and to see things for how they are. But this episode specifically is going to be a great one for those of you who are trying to heal, or for those of you who have a hurt heart. It's going to give you some great things that you can put into place today. If you have a healthy heart, you also want to pay attention, because this is going to help equip you to help somebody else through their healing process. It's going to help you to understand what people are going through. And this is the thing about healing, though, it starts with forgiveness. The healing process starts with forgiveness. And while physical healing can happen without any work from you, depending on the wound. So let's say you get a scratch. The other day, I've been making this tea, this honey turmeric tea. It is so good, y'all. It is delicious. And so when I make the tea, I make it with almond milk and brown sugar, and I put nutmeg in it. I use 2 bags because I like for it to be, I like to have a very strong flavor. So it is so delicious. And what happened a couple days ago is I burned the roof of my mouth. Mm-hmm. Just trying to slurp up the tea. Burn the roof of my mouth a little bit. Oh, I don't know if you've had that. It doesn't like, it's not a scorching thing at first, but you can kind of feel like, oh, that definitely feels tender. And it's fine for the most part. And then you get ready to eat something like crackers or toast or something that's a little rough, and then it touches that. Oh, that thing hurts so bad. Oh my goodness. But I feel better now. It's been like 4 days post burning the roof of my mouth. And that happens a lot of times with pizza. It was the pizza, because I had pizza and tea that day. It was probably the pizza, y'all. I just blamed my tea. It was probably the pizza. Burn the roof of your mouth stinks for 2 days. Like, it really hurts. It freaking sucks. So what did I have to do for my mouth to heal? Nothing. I had to not keep burning it and not scratch it up with toast, but I didn't have to do anything for it to heal. It completely healed on its own. I just went about my regular life. I did protect it, you know, because I didn't want it to get worse, but I didn't put any Neosporin in my mouth or alcohol swabs or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't put anything in there. It just healed on its own, right? And so that can be true a lot of times for physical wounds, that they will just heal on their own. That's not true when we are emotionally wounded. So when I say like your heart is hurting or your heart is healing, I don't mean you had a heart attack. I don't mean that you had some type of arrhythmia. No, I mean that, you know, there has been some type of emotional wound that's been caused to you. And we've all experienced pain at the hand of somebody we love, or someone we thought was a friend, or someone we thought we could trust. Sometimes we experience pain from someone we didn't even know. Like, you didn't even know me and you said this. And how can we heal from, you know, those thoughts that linger? Because that's the whole thing. Something happened. Unless you're currently living in a toxic situation, unless you're currently living in a situation where you are constantly berated or physically abused. That's another thing. Let me just say that too. Sometimes an emotional wound is a result of something that happened to you physically, right? So when you think of things like sexual assault, assault and battery, domestic violence, things like that, those are physical things that happened to you that also cause emotional wounds. Sometimes an emotional wound is not because of a physical altercation or something that happened to your physical body, but it's because of what someone said to you, how someone treated you, and how you were left feeling. Sometimes it's not a physical ailment. It is the result of a loss, whether it is a spouse, a family member. And when I say a spouse, I mean like divorce or a loss of trust. There's some type of betrayal. All of these things can lead to emotional wounds. I think that we are emotionally wounded as a people way more than we are physically wounded, because it's easy to see that. That's a clear line of like, oh, that's not okay. But emotional wounding and emotional abuse is not as easy to detect. It's not as easy to see. It's not as easy to bear witness to. Sometimes we are causing people emotional harm and we don't even know it. We know when we smack somebody like, okay, I hit them, I probably caused them some physical pain. But sometimes we're just being a sister, or we're just being a parent, or we're just being a friend, and we don't realize the damage that we're doing by the treatment, the damage that we're doing by the way that we speak to another person, or the expectations even that we've put on a person can cause them some emotional discomfort. And so we've all experienced it, but how can we let go? Listen, this is what I was going to say before I went off on a tangent. That for the most part, we are experiencing right now, the pain that you experience, that you're experiencing right now, for most of us, is not a result of something that is happening to us today. No one's standing in front of you right now calling you names. No one's standing in front of you telling you that you're not great or you're not wonderful. Ain't nobody doing that right now. So if that's the case, why is it that I feel pain in this moment? Why do I still feel upset? Why, when I think about what happened to me, am I back in the corner somewhere? Why is my blood boiling when I'm reminded about something somebody did to me? I got on a call with my sister, and one of my sisters on my dad's side, this week, and we talk. You know, we've stayed connected, and we talk. But we were just talking about like our childhood and stuff. And there are so many areas where I feel like I've healed. As many of you know, if you've been following me, that I didn't grow up with my biological in the house. I had no relationship with him. I'm gonna stick with that. I did not have a relationship with him. I knew who he was. I visited him one summer that I can remember, and I spent most of that time with my grandmother. Anyway, my sister and I, we were just talking about our childhood, and we grew up very differently as it related to our biological father, because she was still in the city where he lived and I wasn't. And so we just talked about it, and it was fine. We didn't really talk about anything so deep. But it started to make me think of some things that I experienced as a child that I hadn't thought about in a long time. And I realized in that moment that while I hadn't thought about them in a long time, there was something there that I hadn't healed from that was impacting me right now. Do you hear what I'm saying? Sometimes it's just a conversation. I just had a conversation. I started thinking about my childhood, and it revealed something that it reminded me of something that happened to me when I was a kid. And I can now see, now that it's been revealed, I can now see how that thing has impacted me even to this day. And I'm gonna tell y'all right now, the Lord said that I can be free and I can be healed and I have peace anytime I see it. That's my alarm for me to drink water. Sorry, y'all. Y'all know I struggle with dehydration. Seriously. Excuse me. So y'all know me. I want to be free. I want to have peace. I want to have joy. I want to operate in the fullness of Christ. I don't want to have anything holding me back. Even if it's something I didn't know was holding me back. Because for the most part, I would have told you I don't have any real unresolved issues from my childhood that I knew of. Well, now I realize I have one. So now starts the healing process. And the first thing, you know, the first thing I have to acknowledge is that the first thing, you know, we kind of need to be aware of before we even think about the healing process is that whatever it is you are dealing with, it's not happening to you right now. So it's all about your thought. It's all about your emotions. And it's not about something you are dealing with for most of us right now. Whatever that pain and that hurt was that was caused you in the past. So if I want to get to a full place, like I need to ask myself, like, how can I, you know, grow past the limitation that that emotional pain has presented for me? Because of what happened, I'm limited in my ability to love, honestly, if I'm being completely transparent with y'all. And it was nothing major. It's just something somebody said to me. And I held on to that. I forgot about it, but I held on to it. I planted it in my heart. And while I don't feel like I am bitter or resentful, I realized that it kept me from reaching out to have a relationship with somebody I want to have a relationship with. I've decided I want to have a relationship. It kept me from reaching out to them and trying to connect with them. But I didn't know that until now. That's why I'm sharing this with you. This is the thing. I don't want to identify myself by what happened to me or by what I've been through. That's not my deal. I don't want to always be introducing myself by what I've been through and by what I've dealt with. Because when I do that, then I'm taking on that identity. Right? I don't want to introduce myself. I've overcome depression and I have taken back my life and my marriage has been changed. But when I introduce myself to you, I say I'm Courage, the Chief Courage Crusader, right? Hey, I'm Courage Molina, Chief Courage Crusader. That's who I am. I identify with what I got out of what I've been through. I may tell you what I've been through, but my identity is not what I've been through. My identity is, and this is just for me, my identity is also not a label of what has been done to me, right? I have come through on the other side of so many things that I want to be identified by the strength that I came out with. That's how I want to be identified. And so I think it's hard for us to do that when we, you know, we're not going through the healing process, but the problem is that the healing process starts with forgiveness. I know many experts say to start with like acknowledging the pain and what was done, but I just don't agree with it. You know, I strongly believe that healing starts with forgiveness. Okay. And so that's where it is. You know, anytime you look up healing, the steps are, you know, various and it differs depending on who you ask and what their philosophy is. But honestly, I'm going to say it again. My first step or my opinion is that the first step is forgiveness, first and foremost, because forgiveness sets you up. First of all, forgiveness activates and invites God into the situation. Let's start right there because forgiveness is required by God. So the moment that I say I'm going to forgive somebody, I have the power to forgive even the most heinous things that have been done to me or even the worst things that I've been through. I have the power to forgive because of what Christ did for me, because the Spirit lives in me. It is not of human nature to be forgiving. It is not human nature to constantly and completely forgive a person and to start the healing process. That is not in our nature. Our nature is to hold on to the bitterness. Our nature is to hold on to the resentment and to just create better boundaries. But the releasing of that person is not really in our human nature. So our heart doesn't necessarily lend itself to a place where it's like, okay, I want to be forgiving of this person, especially if what happened to us is something that we feel like is unforgivable, right? So it's difficult to heal past something that you believe is unforgivable because it means you refuse to release the pain and the desire for revenge or harmed or whatever. You refuse to release the negativity associated with the heinous thing that happened, the unforgivable thing that happened, right? But forgiveness activates and invites God into, activates the Holy Spirit and invites God into the situation. We have access to the Holy Spirit all the time. The question is, how are you tapping into that power? So when I say, okay, I want to heal this wound, I know I can't heal this by myself. I know I ain't going to get through this by myself. I know how I am as a human being, and it is not going to stop just because, you know, oh, well, she's Chief Courage Cruise. Oh, she's the minister. Oh, she founded a women's ministry. Those things are true, but I'm still a regular, schmegular human being. The extraordinary things that you witness in and through my life are as a result of the Holy Spirit. It is God moving. Yes, I'm doing work, but I'm telling you, it is the Lord moving, because I wouldn't be able to do the work that I do. I wouldn't have the capacity to forgive and to move on if I did not activate and invite God into the situation. So that's why forgiveness is the first step to healing, right? Because it invites God in. That's step number one. That, first of all, that's step number one for anything, is inviting God in. Any problem you face, step number one is to invite the Lord in. So if that first step does not invite the Lord in, it ain't your first step. It might be step number two, might be step number 1.C, but it ain't step number one, okay? Step number one should always activate and invite God into the situation. So in this case, when we're talking about healing, forgiveness is the thing that does that, that activates and invites God into the situation. It's required. Forgiveness is a requirement for us. And it's not, you know, it happens the moment that you decide. I know that you don't believe that. I'm going to say it again. Forgiveness happens the moment you decide to forgive a person. If you say you forgive a person, I forgive you, they are forgiven. Forgiveness is not a process. It's a choice. I'm going to say it again. Forgiveness is not a process. It's a choice. I'm going to choose whether or not I'm going to forgive you or not. It's a decision that I have to make. And the moment that you make the decision to forgive and you say, I forgive this person, that you have forgiven them. Doesn't mean you have to call them up to forgive them. Doesn't mean you have to reach out to forgive them. It is a decision that you make to release the negativity that you have towards them and all the negative thoughts, and to honestly begin the healing process. Now, healing is a process. So step one in a process. So if you, listen, if something has a process, there are steps to it. There's a process. So again, step one, there's a process to grief. There's a process to healing. There's a process to overcoming anxiety and depression. There's a process to those things. And it's like step one, do this. Step two, do this. Step three, there's a process for overcoming addiction. It's a 12-step process. Step one, step two, right? It's a process. It could take some time. It depends on how bad off you are, how long it's going to take, right? All of those things. Forgiveness is not a process, okay? It ain't a process, it's a choice. Decide, are you going to forgive yourself? Yes or no? Are you going to forgive the other person? Yes or no? When I say I forgive, what I'm saying is that I am releasing the negativity around you and what you did to me. I forgive you. I'm releasing any desire for you to come to harm, any desire for you to get what you gonna get what you gave. All of that negativity, that energy I'm putting out towards this person, I'm saying it's done today. Now, this is where we get caught up. I know some of y'all are shaking your head. This is where we get caught up, because we don't feel like we forgave them, because we don't want to forgive them. It's like, oh, it's not a real, you didn't really forgive me if you not still my friend. No, I forgave you. I decided to let go of the negativity and negative thoughts that I had surrounding you and the outcome of your life or whatever. I've decided to release that, right? I've made the decision to let it go. Doesn't mean that I've let it go yet. Forgiveness is a decision to do so. sometimes we have it backwards, where we believe that we have to get through the healing process and we have to feel good first and we have to honestly want good things for the other person. And then that means we've truly forgiven them, or that means that now I can forgive you. No, forgiveness is a decision. I forgive you. I'm still mad at you. I might not talk to you anymore. Our relationship might change. The access that you have to me may no longer be the same, but I can forgive you and never talk to you again. It doesn't mean that I didn't forgive you because I don't allow you access to my space. It doesn't mean that I didn't forgive them because I'm still mad and I'm hurt and I'm upset. If somebody accidentally, stepped on your foot and your foot was already kind of sore or whatever, or somebody accidentally dropped something on your foot and you broke a toe, it was an accident. And so they apologized and you forgave them. Does your toe still hurt though? Do you wait until you get to the hospital and your toe is repaired and you've healed completely to say, I forgive you for something that I knew was an accident? You have these small kids, they run around your house right now and they have spilled something on the carpet on you. You forgive them. Is your carpet clean right now? Yay or nay? Somebody accidentally threw out something you put in the fridge because they thought it was old. You forgive them. Is your food out the trash right now? No. Forgiveness doesn't mean that the situation or the circumstance has changed. It means I've decided to let go of the negativity. I've made a decision. I can make a decision. Listen, maybe it takes me some time to decide. Maybe it takes you some time to understand that forgiveness is required, that the Lord says the same measure that you use, he's going to use that against you. So if you refuse to forgive somebody because of what they did to you, right, because of their actions, then God will refuse to forgive you. That's Bible. So maybe it takes you some time to make a decision to forgive, right? It's taken me some time to get to a place where I can decide to forgive. But the decision itself takes no time at all. The moment I decide to forgive, I can forgive in that moment. Less than a second. Just like that, okay? It happens the moment that you decide. And it sets you up to release, during the healing process. Unforgiveness is this holding on a barbed wire. You refuse to let go, right? So you'd rather feel the pain and the wound and be constantly reminded that somebody put the barbed wire in your hand, right? So they put the barbed wire in your hand and that created a wound and it hurt, but now you squeezing that barbed wire, refusing to let go because they didn't even apologize. They haven't changed. They're still out here putting barbed wire in everybody's head. They haven't been brought to justice. They didn't mean it. They keep doing it. No, not you still holding on to it. Unforgiveness is the holding on of the pain. So when you make the decision to forgive, it sets you up to release during the healing process, because the healing process is work. That's where the work begins. I read this article by Brianna West, or maybe it's Weist, sorry, Brianna Weist, and it says, while physical healing requires rest, emotional healing requires work. It requires us to dive into the experience, glean wisdom, and commit to changing our lives. That's healing. Forgiveness sets me up so that I can walk through the healing process, which is the work. Because when I dive into the experience, it means I have to go back and remember what happened. I have to acknowledge what happened to me. And that is going to be painful. And I get to decide that I just want to hold on to the pain, because I'm already experiencing pain. I just want to hold on to the pain or the limitations that the pain has created in my life instead of breaking free of it. But if I make the decision to forgive, it sets me up. It activates the Holy Spirit. It invites God into the situation. And it sets me up to release while I'm doing the work. So with every painful removal of every barbed every barb that's in my hand, right? I'm not closing my hand because I've made the decision to keep my hands open. And every time I go back to that place, I reset because I made a decision. The reason I can continue to go back is because I've made the decision to forgive, which requires a moving forward. The minute that I refuse to move forward, right, that's decided I'm not going to forgive. Nope, I changed my mind. I ain't going to do this work. Forgiveness starts the healing process because it's a decision, and I can't heal, and I can't let go of resentment that I don't decide to let go of. Do you understand that? I know it seems like, oh, I'm playing with semantics. I'm not. I'm really helping you to understand forgiveness is the decision. Healing is the process. So I don't know what unforgiveness has brought to your life. For me, it has, in this season, it's kept me from reaching out to someone that I want to have a relationship with, someone I want to reconnect with. And I didn't know why I hadn't reached out. I didn't know. I'm like, I thought about it, but I never did. But that unforgiveness placed a limitation on me, on my life. Not the other person. They probably don't even remember what they said. It probably wasn't that deep for them. They might have already forgiven themselves. They'd have probably moved the heck on already. But I'm over here still experiencing limitations for something somebody else did to me because I hadn't made the decision to forgive. Right? And so now I'm making the decision to forgive. And I've already reached out to that person. And so my question to you is, what's keeping you from making the decision in this very moment to forgive? Whether you're forgiving yourself or you're forgiving someone else, what's keeping you in this very moment from forgiving? Because I know that you want to be healed. I know that you want to be whole. But what's keeping you from making the decision to forgive? Right? I want you to consider that. And I want to challenge you to make the decision today to forgive someone for something they've done to you that you've just been holding on to. I want to challenge you to forgive someone today, because that forgiveness will start your healing process. We can't be bold, confident, and courageous if we wound it. If our hearts are hurting, if our hearts are wounded, that's going to keep us from being who God has called us to be, doing what God has called us to do, and it's going to keep us from being courageous enough to take possession of the stuff that has our name on it. So if you want to live a purpose-driven life, if you want to live your best life, if you want to live this life that you've dreamed of, the life that you've been called for, then it's like you have to forgive. Forgiveness is a requirement on this journey. It's a requirement. If you're going to embrace courage as a lifestyle, this is power principle number two. Forgiveness is freedom. You have got to get free of the chains and the things that will hold you down. You've got to get from behind the walls and the limitations that have been put up because of unforgiveness. The minute that you realize, oh my gosh, this is a space where I haven't forgiven, make the decision to forgive, then you can walk through the steps of healing from it. Then you can walk through the steps of healing. But you can't. You cannot even expect to be out here doing the thing and killing the game and I'm bossing up. No, you ain't bossing up nothing. If you still have unforgiveness in your heart, that makes you bitter. It makes you resentful. It makes you untrusting of other people. How can you can't even build relationships if you have unforgiveness in your heart? How can you have faith that something's not going to happen to you again if you still haven't healed from the previous wounds? It's like saying, oh, I'm gonna be just as good at tennis as I was before I got this barbed wire in my hand. No, you're not. You might have gotten used to the pain. You might also be addicted to the pain. It identifies you. You have put your identity in alignment with your pain and what was done to you. You're always the victim. Always the one that's hurting. Always the one that's getting the short end of the stick, right? You are now addicted to that pain. But when you stay addicted and committed to holding on to that pain, you will never be able to walk fully in the promises of God. You will never be able to walk fully in the purpose that God has for your life. Forgiveness is required of you, woman of God, man of God. Forgiveness is required, and forgiveness is freedom. So I want you to make this decision today to get free from something somebody did from you years ago. Get free from it. Forgive them. Start the healing process. Okay? I love you. I hope that this episode has challenged you. I hope that you are forgiving yourself, that you are forgiving others, so that you can really begin to heal your heart and have a healthy heart instead of a heart that's hurting. If you'd like to hear more about forgiveness, or you need more on forgiveness, check out the website, couragemolina.org, and click on the Power Principles tab. There are studies there to help you with the forgiveness process. There is a Bible study there that's going to help you get through and work through forgiveness. You can download it. It's also going to be in the show notes. So if you know, like, oh, I hear her talk about forgiveness, but I don't really think I can do it. I don't really know what that looks. I ain't really ready. I'm not convinced. I need a little bit more work. Then you can go to couragemolina.org and click on Power Principles and just choose forgiveness. And any work that I've done in that area, you will find there. And you'll also find the Bible study guide for forgiveness that you can download and purchase. All right. Purchase and download. You obviously can't download it first. My bad. All right. I love y'all. Until next time, y'all be strong and very courageous.